Good morning and welcome to the Green Country Gardener program with our expert, Larry Glass. Stay tuned for a free hour of fun and free advice to make that garden and that lawn look great. The Green Country Gardener program is brought to you by Green Thumb Nurseries and Greenhouses, Peter's True Value Hardware, Kelly Banks Tree Service, and United Rentals.
Good morning. It's time for the Green Country Gardener program, 808. If you have any questions for Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, you can reach us at 918-336-1400 or the toll-free number, 1-800-749-5936. Larry, how are we doing this morning?
I don't know. My cat has a right idea in this heat.
Oh, yeah. It's very hot.
Find a cool place to go to sleep.
Yeah, I got to stay cool indeed.
But we got a lot. We're doing a lot of work right now this time of year, and it's a little difficult.
Hey, you were telling me you've been putting in a lot of retaining walls lately.
Yes. And
it's hot.
A welcome addition to the landscape is something to solve a visual problem, erosion problem, or flattening out the yard, making useful space out of somebody's yard too. So they really do help. And, you know, the different kinds of retaining wall blocks you can use, depending on the situation.
Right.
You either choose it by customer preference or you engineer them. So it just depends. But anyway, but they do have to be properly engineered. Mm-hmm. And it takes a little bit of work to do that. You got to get the ground compacted, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when they're up and they're done, they look really nice.
Right.
They can. Look really nice too.
That's always the goal, right?
So anyway, that's what's kind of going on this week. We've got a few projects on the horizon too, some planting. And right now, you might want to hold off on maybe planting a few things as long as the weather stays hot as it has been.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to cool down this weekend and be a little bit cooler as we get closer to Labor Day.
But what, 98 instead of 99?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Just a degree cooler.
Oh,
you're
thank
right.
you. Yeah. Set a little knob over there. Turn it a little to the left.
Here. Yeah, that I think one. This one's way. See this one right here?
Yeah.
It's way too far to the right.
Yeah,
it needs
to
be. There
yeah, that's
we go.
Better.
There we
okay,
go.
Thank
better.
You. Good. Now welcome. I can work this week. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Permission granted to work.
Anyway, in light of the dry weather, we need to watch out for our plants. We had an awful lot of rain this spring. Mm-hmm. We thought Noah's Ark would go bubbling down Frank Phillips Boulevard several times. I think
it
did.
That'd be quite a sight, wouldn't it?
I think it did there for a while. And the trees really got a good boost of growth this spring. So they're really healthy and we're doing really quite well. And some of them are starting to show a little bit of heat stress. Is they had all that really nice, cool, moist weather.
Right.
And they sort of got used to it, then bam, brick wall hits.
A retaining wall.
Yeah. And they the trees generally will respond by dropping some leaves, too. So if some of your trees, for instance, the river birch and magnolias and some other trees, if they're losing a few leaves at this point in time, I wouldn't worry about it too much. Mm-hmm. Because they're just adapting to the different conditions. To keep themselves cool, they transpire. The leaves give off moisture and so on.
Right.
And to keep them cool. And it draws moisture from the ground up to, from the roots and all that. And if the root really can't bring up enough moisture to keep the leaves cool, they overheat. And the tree drops them off. And typically, you can tell a tree is dropping leaves due to the heat by the leaves closer to the main trunk are the ones that go first. And the outer ones, because they transpire a bit more efficiently, the outer ones are retained on the tree. And so don't worry about, and we've had some calls, people say, the leaves are falling off my trees. Well, it has no sense of seasonality, maybe, perhaps, but no. It's just responding to the change in the weather.
Gotcha.
So it's okay. Now, some of the leaves, some of the maple trees, leaves are falling off and they're characteristically sort of blackish around the edge. And that's due to leaf anthracnose, which is a common disease they get in the very moist, wet, warm springs, is what we experienced this year.
Right.
And usually they're still up in the tree and they fall down when it gets hot because the tree just doesn't need them anymore. And then people go, oh my gosh, my tree is dying. No, it's just a simple case of leaf anthracnose.
Leaf anthracnose.
Which isn't much of a problem. It just stays on the leaf, and the tree drops it off when it gets to be too bad. So, The red bud trees are experiencing a lot of that too. The leaves are turning yellow and they're getting spots on them, which is normal for red buds. They're just ugliest things in the world this time of the year. They're so beautiful in the spring though. And indigenous to the area, they maintain themselves real well. So don't worry about the leaves looking crazy on your trees. They're just responding.
Right.
Okay.
To the heat.
Kind of the same thing for shrubs too. Some of the shrubs, the boxwoods are really holding up nicely this year.
Okay.
They have developed a really good root system thanks to all the rain. And the leaf color has maintained itself very well on this year, as well as the euonymus species. The Manhattan euonymus looks really good right now. Mm-hmm. Some of the Japanese euonymus, the creeping euonymus, has a really good positive look to it right now. So plants are they're very adaptable. And in order for them to adapt, they have to change a little bit. And so if it looks a little different than it did, say, early on when it was hot, it's just the plant just doing it. It's doing its thing. So they'll be all right.
It's surviving and thriving in this wild world.
Yeah. One thing that looks really ugly and people are bringing a lot of them into the hydrangeas. Well.
What about them?
They're not looking too good for the summer.
It's like, oh.
What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi there.
And one thing you can do to your hydrangeas to really help them through the heat is to apply a rather dense layer of mulch on the surface. And that does moderate the water levels from going to extreme, from extremely moist, say, to extremely dry. It moderates it somewhat. So it's more of a gradual water loss. A lot of times they don't need much of any water when that happens. Mm-hmm. But the way the things have been, you might want to water your hydrangeas. You remember the first three letters of the word hydrangeas? It's kind of hydraulic, like water. So
everything needs water.
That tells you right away they need some water. And also the newly planted bobo hydrangeas, people having troubles with them everywhere. And they're suffering some appearance. But that's because the root system in a pot about as big around as the base of this microphone, about the, 6 inches across. Mm-hmm. All the roots are right there. And it's going to dry out really, really quickly. So when you do water, I always tell people water in the morning, because they leave the hose out in the afternoon. If you water, you're putting boiling water on the plant. And it won't last very long. So you always kind of water them in the morning for that reason. And drench them really, soak them really good, say every other day or so. Or just when they need it, when they start to wilt, water them. Very simple.
Right. People should probably watch the ice water, too, a little bit, too. I know we've talked about that before in the past.
So anyway, in light of that, fall color is on the way. Yesterday, we got all kinds of new trees in at the nursery.
Okay.
Some maples, got some purple-leaved red buds, which look really nice. It's funny how they can grow them in Tahlequah, and they look real pretty.
Right.
But you bring them to Bartlesville, they just,
plummets.
So we do have some good fall colored trees. They arrived and probably a little too hot to plant right now. But it's a good time to think about planting some trees. And there are some criteria for trees. First of all, you want the trees to work in the landscape. Meaning you want them perhaps to give you some shade or, say, frame the house or just to look nice. Mm-hmm. They have to work in the landscape. That's my philosophy on them. You just don't plant them just to plant one. They got to work.
Just throw it right in the middle of the yard. What do you think?
No. No. The middle of the yard, most people's yards, they're kind of small in the front. And to put a tree in the middle of the yard just takes up all the space.
Oh, definitely.
So you want to, if your yard happens to face, let's say, north, then you might want to plant it on the, anyway, you just want to plant it on the west side of the yard, really,
right,
primarily. But if your house faces south and the street is to the south and your driveway is to the west, well, you can probably plant it on the other side of the driveway, perhaps. I planted a Chinese pistache on the west side of the driveway. And when I come home, the parking space is shaded, which is really nice.
That's nice.
And the pistache, it doesn't really impose itself on the root system as much as, say, a maple tree or something. Mm-hmm. So you can get away. And this one's planted about 15 feet away from the driveway. And it's grown up and shaded the driveway. It's really quite nice. So keep in mind also when locating a tree, not only must the tree work for you, but it must be out of the drainage patterns too. And that's kind of a serious thing here in this town with a lot of houses, is the drainage is really poor. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many French drains I've done, or roof drains, where you pipe in the roof drains and drain them out to the street. It's because a lot of houses just simply aren't built high enough, mm-hmm, to where the water drains away from them. And I've known some people where when it really rains, they open the back door of their garage and open the garage door so the water just runs through it.
Some one way to do it?
Yep. That way, maybe you can put a retaining wall on the way or something to deflect the water.
That's retaining walls.
But still, there are solutions for that. But nonetheless, keep in mind that the water runs downhill, and keep in mind also, for it to be really effectively sloped, you have to have 2 feet out of 100 of a slope, 2%, for it to work. And the house is the high point of the property, and everything, all the water must run away from the house. Mm-hmm. The house is not a retaining wall. The house is not a dam. The water has to run away from the house and go. I remember we were in the house we're currently living in. We were remodeling the kitchen, and it rained real hard, and water came in to the kitchen wall. I said, oh, good God, here we go. But there was, eventually, there's enough slope. I reshaped the whole backyard. And I put a patio back there to carry the water away. You know, it worked really well, no problems anymore. But there are ways you can think out of a drainage problem like that and it to solve those problems. Now, further away from the house when it rains, yeah, there's a pool of water about an inch and a half thick.
Right.
For 10 minutes after it rains, and it's gone. So I don't worry about it, but I just don't want it near the house.
Just gotta get it away.
Right, and you can use things like sidewalks and patios and whatnot to carry the water away from the house and put it somewhere else. And if it sits there, fine. Just don't let it get in the house.
Right.
Okay.
It's bad news bears.
So anyway, so trees should be planted somewhere where it doesn't create a problem with the drainage of the house too. So keep that in mind also, is what happens when it rains, where does the water go? And make sure that the water has a free pathway to get out. And don't plant a tree in the middle of it because the root system of the tree will swell up the ground and create a damming effect of the water runoff and cause some problems.
Right. Okay. We're talking with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, on the Green Country Gardener program on this Saturday morning. It's 8:20. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. Want you to know we have any rental need that you could possibly have at a competitive rate with excellent service. So if you have a project coming up on the weekend that you need a boom for, you need a water pump, a trencher, a mini excavator, we can take care of you. You pay a one-day price, you keep it the entire weekend, you're not in a rush, it's a great deal. Come see us, give us a chance to take care of you. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Rentals, 918-333-9580.
It's Green Thumbnurs Green Greenhouse's sizzling summer sale. Take 50% off at the register on roses, herbs, and 4.5 and 4-inch pots of annuals. Take 30% off all perennials, astables, crepe myrtles, hardy ferns, hostas, Japanese maple trees, butterfly bushes, ceramic pots, and fountains. The sales are hot, and you'll save some cool cash during the Green Thumb's sizzling summer sale. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets results.
This is Curtis Bailey, owner of the BNC Automotive Napa Auto Parts Store here in town, and we've been advertising on the radio for several years now, and we have seen results.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Garrett Giles, the Double G. We got Larry Glass joining us in the studio. If you have any questions for Larry, you can reach us at 918-336-9580. 1-800-749-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Yeah. Larry, we want to talk about bugs now?
Bugs. The tent caterpillars have made a little bit of a show this year, but not too bad. Bagworms, they're already done, so don't worry about spraying them. They're mature enough to where they're going to do. They've done their damage, so just kind of pick them off if you find them. Mm-hmm. However, if you do see some small ones, you might want to apply some Captain Jack's dead bug.
Captain Jack's.
Or the Bacillus thuringiensis to them, and that'll control them pretty well. So, actually, I found some on our trees at the nursery, and I picked them off and gave them a bit of a squeeze. And, but anyway.
They're going to be all right, right?
Yeah, they'll be fine. The bugs aren't going to make it, but.
But I'm doing great.
One thing we're going to watch out for are the larval stage of the monarch butterflies. They're okay. At that point right now. And if you have some butterfly bush or mustard or other plants in the yard, some of the herbs they really like too. Know what you're looking for on them before you get out all these chemicals and say, this is eating my plants. Make sure you know your pest. Don't just go broad-based killing everything. Know your pest. And yeah, the monarch butterfly larvae is going to eat some of your plants. But then again, the monarchs are beautiful.
So what you're telling me is to not have a genocide-type mindset when it comes to bugs.
Exactly, yeah. Be very selective. And if you do happen to have an herb garden and you see a big old green and white and black and kind of gold yellow colored caterpillar on there, well, that's your monarch. So be very careful and be selective when controlling them. The imidacloprid will kill them too, so you want to be careful on what you put your systemic
the word,
yeah, systemic insecticide on there,
right?
So be careful about that. Nicotinoid, that's what I want to say.
Yeah, oh, wow, I don't think I would have been able to help you with that. I'm
systemic,
sorry.
Systemic nicotinoids. They're broad-based. They basically kill all insect species, so you'd be very careful about how you apply and what you apply them to. So so there are some good bugs, too. The praying mantis is a good one. I've seen a few of those. And we have an occasional lizard at the nursery, and I was with a customer back in the office. Huh. She saw that. She was horrified. It's a lizard. They help keep insects under control.
It's a friend.
Okay, yeah, they're cool. Yeah,
they're
kind of cool.
They're cool.
When I was a kid in North Carolina, we had lizards in the house.
Really?
Yeah, we didn't have any bugs.
Hmm. Yeah. No bugs at all because they were doing bug control.
Yeah, we'd be sitting there. You know, I was a little 5 years old and sitting on the couch, and the lizard would go.
that's great.
We gave them names and all that.
Good times in North Carolina.
You bet. So it's a constant battle of the bugs down there. So anyway, also know what the praying mantis looks like, too. They're very positive. Ladybugs are good ones to have around, too. And there's some others, too, that are insectivores. They devour other members of the insect family. And they got plenty of stuff to feed on here. Tell me, please.
They'll take care of the bugs for you.
So that's kind of what you gotta watch out for, the insects. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. So the bad ones are like borers. They're a big problem.
The name even sounds.
And I've seen a lot of problems with borers. Borers are really making a comeback this year. And you can tell you have a borer by looking out, say for instance, the southwest side of the trunk of the tree. They're genetically engineered to start their borer activity there because it's just a little bit warmer in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. With the afternoon sun, and they can survive better in that area. So for some, I don't know how they do it, but they know, which is, I was at a house last weekend, a whole row of maple trees, and every one of them had borer damage, and all the borer damage was coincident with the southwest side of the tree. You can just look down the row and see them, one right after the other.
Huh. Borers are weird, man.
Yeah, it's interesting how animals like that have been able to adapt to the climate like that. So
yeah.
So look, if you suspect that if your tree looks a little bit sick and it's just, and some of the pistachios are starting to show some signs of borer damage too. If it's just looking just not like it should, look at the trunk real close. And what you want to look for is little tiny holes in the trunk. And these holes will not be in any kind of pattern. If there's a pattern to the holes, you have sapsuckers or woodpeckers going after these little critters that are in the tree. So look for unpatterned holes and look for sap seeking out. or seeping out rather, of the tree.
Okay.
And that's a sure sign you have borers. Now, we don't have lindane anymore to control that, which is the old-fashioned one. Dicistan is gone too, but we have imidacloprid, which is a very easy to apply borer control. Basically, mix it up in a bucket and pour it on the tree trunk and on the area immediately around the trunk, and the tree draws it up. The imidacloprid is a nicotinoid. It's a very powerful insecticide. Mm-hmm. So be very careful and be selective as to where you apply it to. Do not put it on your fruit trees during the winter or something.
Gotcha.
If you do have borers on your fruit trees, I like to do that right after you harvest the fruit. And that way the amount of imidacloprid in the tree itself will be thinned out enough to where when the blooms are out, the bees won't be adversely affected by that. Gotcha. So be very, very careful with this application because it can kill off beneficial insects as well. So, but that's kind of the solution right now for borers. Another one is just cultural practices. Try to keep the area clean around the tree. Don't let the weed whackers damage the tree or the mowers damage the tree. So if you maintain a little mulch ring around the tree, that would help it a whole lot more. That's what I do with my trees. I either have big beds on the front underneath the big maple trees or around the fruit trees or the pistache. There is an area where it's just mulched. It's easier to mow around it too. So
yes, it is.
But I see a lot of borer damage on a lot of people's trees where the weed eater has damaged the tree or the mower has caused corruptions in the bark, and it makes avenues for these insects to come up and just get into the tree and cause problems.
No, it's chow time.
You bet. So anyway, that's what's going on with borers on the trees too. Another thing I'm seeing a lot of right now are the twig girdlers.
What was that?
Twig girdlers.
Twig girdlers.
It's an insect with a fascinating life cycle. It lives underground.
I would hope it'd have a fascinating life cycle with the name that it has.
Really?
Yeah.
It lives underground for the most part. Yeah. And then when the days start to get shorter, they climb up the tree and they lay the egg in a far part of the branch. And then they turn around and gnaw a section circular, a very, very clean cut. Looks like it's almost mechanically produced on the tip of the branch. Not all the way through, but just enough to where when the wind goes back and forth, the branch will eventually break off. It'll fall to the ground. And then the worm senses that and crawls out of the branch, goes into the ground, and does all this metamorphosis and waits till next year to do the same thing.
That's interesting.
It's a really bizarre life cycle.
It is
yeah.
bizarre.
But So they like oaks and pecans. They will trim them pretty good. And it doesn't hurt the tree too much, unless it gets to get out of hand. It does create a certain degree of density because it prunes the tree.
Right, yeah.
So it doesn't really harm the tree. It's just a nuisance. But anyway, to control that, you need to be a daily ritual to go out and pick up all these
twigs
that have this very clean cut around them and put them in the trash or something. Just get them so the twig girdler insect can't burrow out and then go into the ground.
That is an interesting fact.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting life cycle for a very interesting bug. What other bugs we got in here that might be of interest?
The scale insects are a little bit of a problem. They're not as bad on the crepe myrtles this year. I really haven't seen a lot of incidents on crepe myrtle scale this year. Last year it was just horrible. Everybody's crepe myrtles were turning black, and the scale was growing and multiplying like crazy. Well, I think the cold had a lot to do with that.
Right.
Kind of controlled their population a little bit. But still, you want to look at your crepe myrtle stem and look for a little tiny little scale. It's an insect that looks like a barnacle, if you will, but very small. And it's kind of shiny and glossy and brown in color, and it just sticks to the plant and draws juices out of the plant. And it exudes honeydew. Exude is a nice word for saying what they do. But anyway, the ants really like that honeydew, and they take it up, and in the process of doing so, they spread the eggs around too. The scale does have the nymph stage is somewhat mobile, so right. They can move from one plant to another in that case. But the symbiotic relationship between them and the ants is their primary means by which they can spread around, because ants, they're just all over the place all the time. They're very mobile. And if they can carry some eggs around, that's fine. If you just get like one egg up on a tree and deposit it in the right place, well, that they can divide and make more scale, and you got a big problem. But it's not much of a problem with crepe myrtle this year. Look out for your, say, your water oaks or your Schumards and some other oaks. A redbud tree. I've seen some scale on redbuds this year. But redbuds typically don't have it as, say, extreme as the crepe myrtles will have it. Or the water oaks and the willow oaks will get it pretty bad sometimes. But I haven't seen it as extreme as it has been this year.
Right.
So next year will probably be a humdinger.
Just got to be ready for it.
So what do I do about scale? That yes. Previously mentioned insecticide I said for the borers, the imidacloprid works for that too.
Okay.
And I had some scale on my water oak about 3 years ago and put it on there. And in about 3 weeks, it was just gone. So,
so it worked.
It worked pretty well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I did mention earlier the crepe myrtles, and we can talk about that after the break. We're going to have a break now.
We should have a break. You're exactly right. We'll be right back with the Green Country Gardener.
Peters True Value and Dewey's August Bargains of the Month include Filtreat Ultra Allergen Furnace Filters for $14.99, a savings of $6. It seems nowadays everything takes batteries. Head to Peters True Value and pick up alkaline Duracell batteries in 16 packs of double or triple A for $12.99 per pack. Another bargain of the month is Pennzoil 1-quart motor oil, just $3.99 per quart, but only at Peters True Value in Dewey.
Smoother, faster, easier to use. That's what you expect from any update on an app for your phone. And we've delivered. Head to the Google Play Store or Apple Store to get the latest version of the KWON Radio smartphone app. News, weather, sports, and community events from KWON have never been easier to access. There's even a button now for you to sound off and tell us what you think. It's free thanks to our best bank and Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and available at the Google Play Store and Apple Store from KWON Radio.
BartlesvilleRadio.com is your source for what's going on in the community and around the world. Click on BartlesvilleRadio.com and check out local and national news, upcoming events, lost or found animals, listener birthdays, anniversaries, up to the second real-time reports, the latest news, weather, market news, and local sports scores and schedules. If it's on the air locally, it's on BartlesvilleRadio.com. Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com.
Anniversary coming up? Call K1 at 918-336-1001 or email radio at BartlesvilleRadio.com with the names and dates, because each morning we announce anniversaries and select one couple to win a $10 gift certificate from Sterling's Grill, helping you celebrate that special anniversary. Call us 918-336-1001 or email radio at BartlesvilleRadio.com with the name and date, and we'll add it to our list. Happy anniversary from your friends at K1.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. Hopefully you're having a good Saturday morning. If you have any questions for Larry Glass about anything going on in the garden, the lawn, feel free to call us.
Crepe myrtles, the ones that have bounced back after the cold, are really blooming kind of nicely. Mm-hmm. I know the one in front of my house simply refused to bloom every year. It just kind of laughed at me. I'm not going to bloom. This year, putting on a really nice show. Mm-hmm. And it's about 6 feet tall. It died all the way to the ground from the cold. And it's come back really, really nicely.
Right.
Now, if you want to get your crepe myrtle back to a tree form, go ahead and just let it live and do what it wants to this year. Don't worry about pruning it. When all the leaves fall off in the winter, you'll be able to see the structure more clearly. And when you see that, you want anywhere from, say, 3 to 5 main trunks. Mm-hmm. So pick out anywhere from 3 to 5. 7 gets a little crowded. But 3 to 5 are the best looking, strongest trunks, and let those be your scaffolds for all your tree form crepe myrtle. I still see a lot of crepe myrtles that have dead stuff above, and they're blooming right in the middle of it. Well, it's time to cut all that stuff out easily.
Right.
It's not going to come back.
No, definitely not.
It would have been out by June if it was going to come back.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's time to cut all that stuff out, at least if you haven't yet. Because when it comes time to do the pruning and the thinning in the wintertime, it's more difficult to determine what was alive and what isn't. And you'll probably cut out all the live stuff and leave the dead stuff if you don't clean out the dead stuff now while the green leaves are out.
Right.
That was a run-on sentence if I ever heard one, wasn't it?
That was a strong run-on sentence.
But anyway, crepe myrtles, you might want to give it just a little bit of fertilizer later on when it cools down just a little bit. And use something with some phosphorus in it. It'll help them along a little bit too. And in the next spring, go ahead and give them some fertilizer. You might do a regular application of that just to get bigger, better blooms and better color. Say some 10, 20, 10, or just crepe myrtle fertilizer.
Right.
It'll be fine. Crepe myrtles like the pH just a little bit on the low side, just a little bit below neutral. And we do have a fertilizer that's meant for acid plants, and crepe myrtle is listed on that for the crepe myrtles too. So if it's not blooming very well, maybe your soil pH is a bit off, and it could cause a problem. They are tolerant of a wide range of soil conditions, but if your soil your pH in the soil gets a little too high, it'll probably adversely affect it. And there are some parts in town where things are planted in baking soda, you know.
Right.
So I guess it's not just exaggeration.
No, yeah.
But it does get pH does get a little bit high, and they might have some troubles doing well. A lot of times your tomatoes have a difficult time in that kind of soil too. They like a slightly acid, 6.5 acid soil. So anyway, check out, if you're not blooming very well, check out your pH and see if you're too alkaline. And that might help it bloom on a little bit. If they did bloom real well this year, we're just great, you know. And the colors are really nice this year. We had plenty of rain to get the root system going back and all that. And we had rained up until, 3 weeks ago, a month ago,
it's,
whatever.
It's been a little while, about a month.
It's been about 3 years, it feels like.
Yes. Yeah. Coming on year four pretty fast.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, they can take the heat real well. That's probably why they do so well here, is they're very heat tolerant. So they'll be just fine, in other words. But make sure before going into the fall that you do trim out all the dead wood in there, just so you know what to look for in the wintertime when the leaves are gone.
Right.
If you do want a tree form. Otherwise, I like to consider crepe myrtles as a bush form here in Bartlesville.
Okay.
Just because we can have some extreme winters. And if the color, the shrub turns if it grows year after year and you can culture it into a tree form, that's fine. But be prepared to happen what happened this last winter. It happens every once in a while.
Right. And we all know how that went.
Yeah. Now, this winter, if it's going to get really cold, watch the weather forecast, get the 10-day forecast looking. And if it looks like it's going to get really, really cold, fall out the garden hose, go out there and water the hound out of it. Just water, water, water. Hmm. And that would help it survive a lot. Some of the crepe myrtles in town were not even affected in the slightest by the cold. And typically those are ones that were in the area that was well watered. So that's very important that they have sufficient amount of water for them to survive the cold.
Right. And Larry, I think we might have a caller on the line. We'll
very
go
good.
Ahead and take that now. Good morning, you're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you?
Yes, good morning. Regarding the crepe myrtles, I may have missed your comment on it before.
Yeah.
My early bloomers have these seed heads on them. Is it... good to go ahead and trim those off. They're not too nice looking now.
Yeah, I hadn't gotten that far yet on the crepe myrtles, but nonetheless, yeah, cut off the seed heads, and there's a very good chance that the crepe myrtle will put on some more blooms. So the minute they stop blooming on those blossoms, the blossom cluster, the minute it stops blooming, cut that off. And there's a chance it will send out some side shoots and go ahead and bloom. It's getting really, really close to September right now. So you probably will get very little at this point in time, very little bloom recurrence because the days are getting too short.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I know mine just full of those seed heads, so I thought I'd check and make sure it's okay. Just clip those off and then see what happens.
Yeah, clip them off. And you might get a blossom or two on it before it's all said and done. But it's important to keep those cut off right after they bloom.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Larry, I think we'll take another break. We'll be right back with the Green Country Gardener program.
Okie dokie.
If you have any calls that you want to make, you can reach us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936.
It's Green Thunder's Green Greenhouse's sizzling summer sale. Take 50% off at the register on roses, herbs, and 4.5 and 4 inch pots of annuals. Take 30% off all perennials, astables, crepe myrtles, hardy ferns, hostas, Japanese maple trees, butterfly bushes, ceramic pots, and fountains. The sales are hot, and you'll save some cool cash during the Green Thumb's sizzling summer sale. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
K1 loves birthdays. Each morning we announce all area birthdays and one name is chosen to receive a certificate for a birthday meal. From Dink's Pit Barbecue, Rita's Cocina Mexicana, Pop's, Daylight Donuts, or Sterling's Grill. If you or someone you know has an upcoming birthday, give us a call. 918-336-1001 and give us the details. We'll announce their name and maybe choose them as our daily winner at our K1 Birthday Club.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
You've heard it said, I saw it on the radio.
Well, that's true.
But now the radio can be your computer, your smartphone, tablet, or any internet-connected device. Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com and click on the Listen Now button in the upper right-hand corner, and you won't miss a minute of news, sports, or entertainment. You can take us with you anywhere in the world. We're AM 1400, FM 93.3, and FM 95.1. K1, the one you trust, and your constant online companion.
or 1-800-749-5936 are the numbers to call. To get on the Green Country Gardener program, we have Larry Glass joining us in the studio today, as always. Larry, tell us about the lace bugs. I heard they've been kind of a problem lately.
Who's that?
Sorry, I thought the bumper music was over.
Oh. That's cool. Okay, lace bugs on your azaleas. Look at your azalea leaves real closely and look at the color. It should be a good dark green, glossy green color. If that color is sort of a yellowish green color, looks kind of sickly, look on the underside of the leaves. And there will be brown spots on it. That's lace bugs. We talked about those last May. So
yes.
So you want to be prepared for that. If they looked ugly this year, the leaves that are on there will probably fall off in the winter. And you're going to say, oh my gosh, my plants are dead. They'll come back to put on some new leaves. Probably if it's really seriously affected and looks kind of sickly, you might want to just do a heavy cut back on them. You won't get very many blooms on them in the spring, but at least it'll come back and start to look pretty nice. Azaleas are very resilient. You can cut them back. This is a funny story. One time, there's a customer, this is golly 20 years ago, her azaleas were too big. Big, beautiful, white glacier azaleas, and they were way too big. So, okay, I can cut them back. Sure, this is in June. So we did. She said, okay, do it. Cut them back. Well, they looked like little antlers on the bed. Cut back so far. She was just absolutely appalled. I said, what did you do to my azaleas? I said, well, they needed a correction, so we cut them back. She wasn't very happy about that.
No.
A month later, the leaves were out again. They had put on some new leaves, and they're all full again, and they had blooms in the spring, and she thanked me for that. So,
nice. Yeah.
So sometimes a heavy cutback is because azaleas get pretty good size,
right?
And they're very resilient plants. You can cut them back rather sternly. We have a caller.
We do have a caller.
Oh, put them on.
I just want to interrupt you.
Put them on.
We do have a caller. Good morning. How can we help you?
Hello?
Hi. How can we help you?
All right. Yes, I got in the end of the crepe myrtle discussion there. I have two crepe myrtles that both of them were dead-looking for most of the summer, and then I had shoots coming up from the bottom.
Yes.
What do I do about the? I was trying to make trees out of them. Uh-huh. What do I do about the dead part that's sticking up? Do I have to cut it back, or will it come back next year, or what?
Yeah, you want to cut it back all the way down to live wood. So do a bit of a scratch on the trunk, and if you see some green under the bark, that's the point where the live wood intersects with the dead wood. And you want to get all that out, because you're introducing diseases and stuff into the tree if you leave it on there. So, and that's about all you can do right now. That which is coming up from the ground will ultimately take over and do just fine.
Okay, so start scratching wherever, and then just keep coming down until I find the green wood. Then
till you find the green wood, and that'll maximize your height on your trunk. But it should be up. Right? If there's no green leaves on any of the bare trunks at this point, those are gone, so they just need to be taken out.
Yeah, there's no leaves on the main trunk now, so.
Yeah, at this point in time, yes.
When should I do this, trim back?
Anytime. You can do it while it's cool out this morning, maybe.
Okay, I didn't know if I should wait till the growing season's over or what.
Oh, no. That at this point in time, you know what's alive and what isn't just by the presence or the absence of leaves.
Okay.
And actually, on mine, I just use the Salzol. It works very well.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for calling.
If you have a question you'd like to ask Larry, you can reach us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry, we were talking about lace bugs before we got our call. Is there anything else you want to talk about with that?
On the azaleas right now, they're setting their blooms for next spring. And if you don't have a lace bug problem, and if you do have the spring blooming azaleas, I wouldn't do too much cutting on them at this point, because they set their blooms. I was at a house yesterday and looked at them, and he had lace bugs real bad on his azaleas, but you look on the tips, the blooms are starting to form. Hmm. I said, well, cut these back after they bloom in the spring, and then they'll put on some new leaves and look a lot. Well, they're too tall anyway. It looked like a big old ugly worn out hedge. So okay. it needed to be cut back anyway.
Right.
But I wouldn't do it this time. If you want some flowers on it, you want to go ahead and just leave it at this point. Don't cut it back.
Gotcha.
And then in the spring, after they bloom, it's a good time to do that. They're actually growing and so on. They'll recover quickly, and they'll fill in a lot faster that way. About the middle of July, you want to stop cutting them back, because they differentiate at that point, and that's when blooms start to form.
All right.
So we're in August right now, so they've already set their blooms. Another thing, the dogwoods have already set their blooms right now for next spring. Mm-hmm. So you want to refrain from cutting back on those also.
Dogwoods.
At this point.
So. Dogwoods and azaleas.
You won't have any blooms. You say, why? My tree didn't bloom this year. What?
Well, if you would have been listening to Larry in August, late August.
Yeah, another thing is the wisterias, they begin to set blooms at this point also. Mm-hmm. So if you have a wisteria vine and you want it to bloom next spring, you might want to refrain from that at this point too. So cool.
All right. This is the Green Country Gardener Program. It's 8:51. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of the show. And again, you can reach us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936.
Back in the early 1930s, Frank and Jane Phillips hosted a wonderful party at their lodge home at Willow Rock. For this special party, Frank hired the world-famous magician Harry Blackstone to provide the entertainment for the large crowd. Throughout the evening, Blackstone amazed the guests with his card tricks and sleight of hand, with the crowd applauding and laughing as the tricks got better and better. Finally, Blackstone asked Jane Phillips to step forward. He reached into his coat and removed a new deck of cards and dramatically unwrapped them, removed the cards from the deck, and shuffled them several times. He then asked Mrs. Phillips to cut the cards, which she did, pulling the Queen of Spades, which she showed to the crowd. She put the card back into the deck, and Blackstone carefully shuffled the cards two or three times, then suddenly spun around and threw the entire deck of cards into the wall of the lodge, just to the left of the front door. 51 cards fell to the floor and the Queen of Spades stuck on the wall, where it still remains today. A perfect example of the magic of Willow Rock. Come see it for yourself, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
How many times have you asked yourself, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Just call the Weatherline Forecast Service, 918-336-2900, and find out. You get the forecast, plus the time and temperature from the studios of News Talk 1400 K1. We update the Weatherline as our forecast changes, so you're always up to date. Put that number in your phone and call 918-336-2900.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. If you want to ask us any questions, you can reach us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry, what else is going on?
Yeah, on your trees, you can do some pruning right now. I like to kind of keep the leaves, the low-hanging branches up high enough to where at least I can mow the grass underneath it. So that can be done right now. On your fruit trees right now, you need to look at the structure and see how it survived all that low-hanging fruit. Look for damage on it.
Right.
Also, maybe have some of your big trees pruned back. I was at a house this week, and she was concerned about one of her branches hanging out over the road. Mm-hmm. So we went out in the middle of the street. Luckily, there weren't any cars coming.
Yeah, thankfully.
And the neighbors... tree across the street had a branch also hanging over, but it was broken. And her branch was holding up the neighbor's branch.
Oh, wow.
Over the street. And I say, if you want to cut this back, you first need to knock on her door and tell him, my branch is holding up your branch, and if I cut my branch down, your branch will fall.
Right.
So they don't get in trouble from the neighbors for breaking their tree.
Right.
They need to be aware of it.
Comic-Con.
And she said, I didn't know that. Yeah, look, you got to look at these things up there. Look at the condition of your trees and up there before you do any cutting on it. And just cut out all the dead stuff. And then you can kind of shape them up a little. There's one branch that's way cantilevered, way on out, a lot of weight mm-hmm. on there. And I said, you might want, and it's shading the grass and all that. But it's got plenty of stuff up above. And that tree was an Osage orange. Fortunately, a male specimen of the Osage orange. They don't make these big old giant grapefruits that dent your car when. And they had this characteristic orange wood. Very, very tough, tough tree. Yeah. Almost as tough as a ginkgo tree, you know, without having any pests or anything to it.
Right.
But anyway, that tree needed to be just shaped up a little bit.
It's
a good time right now. The trees are kind of slowed down. And it really won't start to grow crazy when you do that. It's cool. The days are getting shorter. It knows what to do.
Right.
So you might look at your trees right now in full leaf and look at the branching structure. It's easy to see the branching structure in the winter for structural purposes. But right now you got to be concerned about how much shade it's getting and how far does the cantilever over and all this other stuff. So you might want to look at that also and maybe have them pruned up if it's kind of overgrown looking, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway,
what's going on at the nursery?
At the nursery, golly, we've got like I said, a big old semi truck full of plants came in
right
earlier this week. Really nice looking trees. We got plenty of, finally we got some dwarf nandinas in. Really nice looking bunch of dwarf nandinas. And the golden privets, the golden ligustrum. Mm-hmm. Those along the golf course, you see they planted these yellow plants along there. We've got some of those too to look at, maybe plant in your landscape. It's a unique shrub. The leaves are a very bright yellow color,
right?
And they look almost like a forsythia in bloom, but the leaves are that brilliant yellow color. And the good thing about these, it is a member of the ligustrum family, which is also a privet. They don't produce seeds. They don't bloom. Hmm. Poor plant, whatever. Takes all the fun out of life, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway,
so
they don't have any flowers on them, and so they don't have any seeds. You don't have all these obnoxious little privet plants coming up all over the yard with the golden ligustrum. So it's fun. But for it to color up like that, it has to have brilliant sunshine. Or sunshine ligustrum, that's what it's called. Otherwise, in the shade, it has this kind of this lemon yellow sort of color. Or ivy, it's not that pretty. And it grows irregularly in the part sun. So they really have to have full hot sun for them to do that.
Right.
So the sunshine ligustrum is an interesting plant. Bright yellow leaves on it during the summer.
Right.
In the full sun. So it's a pretty cool plant, too. And some abelias. We have some kaleidoscope abelias right now. They have all different colored leaves on them and little flowers and things. The butterflies like them. They're pretty cool plants. And butterfly bushes, we have a lot of those. And some interesting tropicals, too. There's a bit of a demand for some of these tropical plants right now. And actually, we're selling a lot of them online. So so we get quite a calling for those, too. So, a lot going on.
You do have a lot going on, indeed.
The fescue seed came in today, and they had a kind of a drought in Oregon where it's all grown, so the fescue seed is a bit expensive this year. So you'll want to be sure to do your calculations on your fescue seed and not get more than you really need. So it's so many pounds per 1,000 square feet or something. We got the formulas in there. If you know, and before you buy your fescue seed, because it is kind of high this year, you want to know your square footage so you know exactly how much to get. So you don't have to take out a second mortgage to plant your grass seed this year. So anyway, it's in right now, and some fall blooming things were coming along too. The mums are on their way, and we've ordered our pansies for next spring. And keep that shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
Plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville.